Welcome to another episode of Adding Up the Podcast. I'm your host, Serena.Ryan, and this is episode 84. I love being able to add up all the little changes I'm making to rewrite my financial future and to share them in this podcast. It's not always easy, but I can say with confidence now that it is worth it. If you're watching this podcast on video via Spotify, you will notice I have changed my setup. The aim is to be able to improve the sound quality. And if you notice a difference, amazing. Let me know. I would love to hear from you. As always, there is a link available in the show notes so that you can pop your comments in. I love to get feedback, and I know that many of you love to have a chat and do so privately. This podcast for me is a public way of sharing my money struggles because I want to destigmatize having money conversations. It's not something that should be hidden and shameful. Really, as much as it is hard for me to break that habit, I am determined to continue with these podcast episodes and talking about my money struggles. This week's topic is, as always, a challenging one and one that is close to my heart: sucking it up and having hard money conversations. As a natural people pleaser, I have systemically avoided these conversations. I hate confrontation. I'm the first to admit it. But healthy confrontation is something that I see as really valuable, particularly if you are looking to change your relationship with money and also rewrite your financial future, which is exactly what I am about. Now, before I launch into this week's episode and discussing how I actually have hard money conversations, even when I don't want to, I want to highlight three amazing things that have happened for me this week. My best saving, my best learning, and money bravery. My best saving this week, my best saving this week is my fashion. Again, episode 83, I talked about fashion. For me, this week, again, if you're watching the video, you'll see I am wearing a Space Invaders t-shirt. This t-shirt I bought 4 years ago from the kids section at Target, and it has become a staple in my wardrobe. I would never have believed that I would fit into something from the kids section. But increasingly, as the sizes change, never assume anything. I am learning that when you go out with an open mind and look at the cut of how clothes are and not automatically at the sizing or even the location within the store, you could actually find some incredible opportunities. I had to dress for a 80s themed party. I saw this t-shirt and it happened to be on clearance at the time. Incredibly, I got it for a fraction of the cost it was advertised at originally, and it was from the kids section. It's now still in my wardrobe and being able to be worn because I've held on to it and I didn't just shove it into the fancy dress box. Crazy and cool and amazing, and also saving me money. And I'm wearing it today because it's a good theme for today's topic. I'm actually going to be talking a bit about kids and money. And I find quite appropriate, really. My best learning this week has been to have these hard money conversations and stop going back into my comfort zone. Having a hard money conversation this week was about the fact that I didn't have the money readily available to pay a bill. And instead of being in that place where I would sit and beat myself up about the fact, because I feel like I have come so far with my money that for me to be in a situation to not be able to easily pay a bill, I was mortified. And to catch myself and have that hard money conversation has not only been my best learning this week, but it's also the topic of today's podcast. Catching yourself talking to people about money can save you a lot of heartache. And if you can learn from my learning this week, is to be more open about talking about when you can't pay for things, because that also enables people to have the opportunity to help you and even discuss options with you as well. And amazingly, by having that conversation, it led to me finding other ways to get the money together and be able to be of service. And things have gone from strength to strength by having that hard money conversation. My money bravery this week is to acknowledge that there is a shift in how people are paying for things. There is a shift in people's money confidence. And my money bravery is to look at the positive side of this. There is an opportunity to do better with what we have. My money bravery has been to actively look for other ways to be able to get what I want and also to be able to help others. Focusing on exchange of value instead of automatically looking for money has been a real big highlight of my week, and it centers around the topic of what I'm discussing today as well. Being able to take the step to go, hang on a minute, let's control what we can, and that is our attitude and our optimism around things. I've repeatedly been finding these anxiety-ridden conversations about, oh no, the economy. Hang on a minute. Yes, there are challenges with regards to the economy at the moment, but instead of focusing on that and going into a spiral of negativity and what can't we do, it's what we can do. And when we can look at this differently, my goodness, it changes our approach. This week's episode is about having hard money conversations. And I've had to put on my big girl pants and do this a few times this week. And for me, where it started, the catalyst was my kids. They are perpetually asking for things. Their attitude has been one of, well, I can get that because I ask for it and I get it. And if they don't get something, I don't know if you observe this much about kids, but their initial reaction is to be upset, to cry, to have a tantrum, be cranky. And that starts right from when they're babies. They want what they want, and there's no reasoning with a baby. I don't know if you've found that one either, but I sure did when I first became a parent. It's only as they get older and develop logic that you can start to reason with them. However, if you haven't embedded in them the ability to always not get what you want and getting a balance of exchange, then you cause yourself a lot of headaches. I've found, because I've been particularly focused on my work, multitasking, that I have dropped the ball. Being slightly distracted as a parent means that the kids will take advantage of that. And that has meant in our house, and this is actually getting really personal here, I've allowed them to have more device time than usual because I've been focused on doing work. I've been focused on building my business, and getting that focus for me has meant that I haven't been as focused on the kids. That is really embarrassing as I say it now as well. I'm stopping myself for a little bit here. In this moment, it's easy for me to just pull the plug and not continue recording the podcast because it is personal and it's looking at how I'm feeling as a parent. When we feel like we're not doing enough and being enough, it's hard. In our situation, I've been allowing them more flexibility of time on devices. Yes, we have ground rules. Yes, we have got, you know, a structure in place, a routine. They're not allowed on devices 24/7. We do make sure they have a set bedtime. There are no devices in their bedrooms. There are certain structures in place, but I've been finding it's not enough because there's still been tantrums and frustrations. And essentially, when they want things, we're letting them have them. Where this has come unstuck for me has been trying to get them to do chores. And getting them to do chores has been an uphill battle I feel like I'm hitting my head against a brick wall, or the equivalent analogy, because they're not always making their bed and there's no strong consequence if they don't. And I've tried to implement pocket money and say, well, hey, if you make your bed and do set chores around the house, we'll give you, you know, it was going to be $5 a week, which I think is a decent amount of money. And I might as well have said it was $500 a week, because there's zero motivation to do these chores. The thing I sat down with was, how on earth am I going to motivate these kids? And I was having this chat with another mum, and she said that she had put in place for her kids a token system where they created their own currency. And that would mean that if whatever the chore was, you would earn tokens. And it could also be rewarding good behavior, and you'd get these tokens and nominating how much each one is worth. And then they could be redeemed. And this is the difference. It wasn't just redeeming it for money. It was redeeming it for something they wanted. And in her case, she said they can redeem a token for device time or money, but not both. And once they've used their tokens, they have to go and earn more. I was like, wow, I wonder if that could work for us. Because this is the thing, time and money is valuable, but the two get condensed into one a lot. And then we're trying to only reward our kids with money when they're not actually after money. They may be after time as well. And both of those things are valuable. So I had a chat with my husband, and he kind of went, yeah, let's give it a go. Why not? We're kind of both at our wits' end on what to do. This became a really interesting exercise. We implemented this in the past week, and the transformation with the kids, initially we had tears, a lot of tears, because initially they could see that they were going to be doing things to get what they wanted, that they couldn't just on demand get what they wanted. And I'm talking a lot of tears and tantrums and anger. And then when they realized that this was going to be the new way forward, they started doing things. And that was as simple as putting their shoes away, putting their clothes away, cleaning the toilets. Yes, getting into the bathroom. And yes, I gave bonus tokens for doing those things. Not because I felt like it was an onerous thing that they should have to get extra for, but I genuinely want them to see the value in how much I value them doing those things. I also then mentioned that they would get tokens for good schoolwork and homework and improving the quality of their homework they're doing, and showing that they're making an effort. So if we find out that they're doing something well at school, they'll be rewarded. And in this past week, I've had the kids tell me that they have done well in tests, and also something which is a weakness of one of my kids has been public speaking. He's had to do a speech. And the comment we got from the teacher directly yesterday was that they were three times as good in this speech as the one they did last term. And we gave bonus tokens for each one of those incredible things that they're doing in their schoolwork. Is it early days? Absolutely. Do I know if this is going to continue? I don't know. But what I am seeing is their shift in how they are doing activities, and in return getting those tokens that they can then use. They're starting to debate and deliberate over what they will use their tokens for, what they're considering saving for. And that could be saving up the time because there's a particular game they want to play online, or actually saving their money up for something that they want to buy, because they're viewing their tokens as time or money, and they're able to redeem them for those two things. And each token, so you get an idea, is 10 minutes of device time or $1. And initially my husband said to me, oh no, they're going to redeem all this money and we don't have the money to pay them. He's calmed down now because we can see that they're redeeming tokens for device time. But This is an important disclaimer on this as well. It's still within the same boundaries we had already put in place. Devices, they don't have them after 5:30 p.m. They're also having to have their homework done before they can get on a device. So there's still capacity, there's still time after school some days and on weekends for devices, but it's not that they're revolving all their time around that. I'm giving them also bonus tokens for things that I consider being a good human. Them sitting down with their younger cousins and playing with them and looking after us as well without being prompted. Things like putting dishes in the dishwasher without being asked. And getting them to understand that we'll always be rewarding for good behavior. I'd also say something that's important here. We don't take their tokens out of their jar for bad behavior. I ignore bad behavior and I don't reward it. And they get time out, but that's separate to the token system. It's about drawing a line there and knowing that you just simply don't get tokens for everything. And you definitely don't get tokens taken away if you've had bad behavior. But you do suffer consequences for bad behavior. This way, I didn't realize it at the time when we put it in place, how valuable it would be as a financial literacy learning and getting that balance restored in our house of getting those things done that I would love them to do. And this is about them enjoying their schoolwork, enjoying helping others and seeing the value in doing the good things. And good things will come their way when they do so. I didn't find that this would be an easy thing to start with. I was really nervous. All those things that have come at me about having hard conversations and being able to enforce something new and knowing that it wasn't necessarily going to be well received. This became an important pivotal moment for us, and I can see we're only just over a week in, and we'll have regular updates on this as we go within this podcast, because I see how important this is as I am finding my way in having hard money conversations. They don't always have to be big and scary, and I can't just keep being always someone who is, I'm going to say, people pleasing, and that includes being a pleasing parent. I see it as I'm here to be a parent first, and that enables everyone to do things in a better way. Whilst I am respectful with my kids, it's not about me being their friend, and understanding how when I am better about my boundaries and how I can be better in that context, that actually has a positive impact on the rest of my life as well. Does an allowance work for your kids? I see that this has become a form of an allowance without it calling it an allowance. Looking at money through the lens of kids, I am finding it's a wonderful ripple effect to help me in business and life. And I hope you found this podcast episode useful for your lifestyle and your budgeting